How are we doing, church family? Man, I love those songs. Let's give God glory for those songs. So we're in a series called Jesus versus the World. And what we're doing is we're comparing the power of the gospel of Jesus to different philosophies, ideologies, and even religions that have pervaded Western civilization in our lifetime. And so today, we're going to be talking about Jesus versus the law of attraction. Now, let me ask you a question. What happens when life spirals out of control? When your marriage feels like it's falling apart? When a diagnosis shakes the core of your world? What happens when your bills are piling up and you don't have the money to pay them? Now, what if someone told you that there was a secret, a way that you, in your trouble, could literally harness the power of the universe to make everything right in your life? Well, in 2006, there was a book that came out called The Secret, and it captivated hundreds of millions of people with this promise. You can control your destiny through the power of your thoughts. Now, real quickly, this was not a new concept. The law of attraction was circulating at the late 1800s, but it made a comeback by this book. And at its core is the so-called law of attraction, the belief that like attracts like. So if you are positive and you are completely focused and there's no negativity in your thinking, in your mind, and you surround yourself with the most positive environment, you can come to a place where you can literally manifest your thoughts and dreams and hopes. So think positively and success will follow. Dwell on negativity and failure is certain to invade your life. Now, this sounds kind of empowering until you see what's beneath the law of attraction. So Rhonda Byrne, who is the author of The Secret, doesn't stop at just positive thinking. She says this: if you see people who are overweight, do not observe them. If you think or talk about diseases, you will become sick. I personally find that offensive. The first part, not the second. But black does make you look a little skinnier. Take notes, young man. Worse still, she goes on in her book, she advises against avoiding police officers, clergy, doctors, and nurses, anyone who deals with brokenness, because they might disrupt your manifestation. Now, this isn't just bad advice, it's dangerous, because it rejects compassion, it blames victims for their own suffering, and it isolates people from the very relationships that give life meaning. But it even goes deeper. Some law of attraction practitioners have turned to the occult, channeling spirits and seeking higher vibrations for power. You have heard the word vibe, or this is my vibe. That all comes back to the law of attraction. Vibrations. It's influenced popular songs. And so Esther Hicks, a leading voice in the law of attraction world, claims that she can channel entities, and she calls them Abraham, to teach others how to manifest their desires. So what starts as a maybe somewhat innocent and naive self-help book quickly becomes now a spiritual deception, opening doors to the very dangers that Scripture warns us about. And the Bible is clear. Seeking power apart from God is a path that leads to darkness and even demonic influence. Now, can you imagine Jesus living this out? Can you imagine Jesus avoiding the sick, avoiding the broken because they might ruin his vibrations? Instead, Jesus ran to the hurting with no fear. He touched the untouchable with no fear. He healed the sick, and he gave his life to restore a broken world. So while the law of attraction says, save yourself and avoid suffering, Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So the law of attraction actually enslaves people to the impossible burden of trying to control their own reality. But Jesus offers us rest, peace, confidence, and freedom through the loving sovereignty of our Heavenly Father. So today we're going to look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, and we're going to see how trusting our Heavenly Father frees us from fear, striving, and spiritual danger. And here's the big idea that I want you to get today. Peace and satisfaction are found in trusting our Heavenly Father. Peace and satisfaction are found in trusting our Heavenly Father. So the first point this morning is this. God alone has the power to provide for our needs. God alone has the power to provide for our needs. Let's look at what Jesus has to say. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? These are the words of Jesus. And so Jesus begins with a direct command. He says, do not worry about your life. And what is the one thing that all of us do day after day? We worry about our lives, our retirement, our health, our kids. We worry about the future of the country. We worry about the past of the country. We worry about the present. Even for a pastor, I worry about the direction of First Baptist. I worry about some people over here. I wonder where we're headed. I wonder this, I wonder that. And worry begins to build up. But Jesus says, do not worry about your life. You see, worry isn't just an emotional reaction. It reveals what we believe about God. When we get caught up in the rabbit hole of worry, it reveals our view of how powerful God is or not. And then Jesus asks this question, is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? So to help us understand this, he gives us an unforgettable illustration. He says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. I mean, think about this for a minute. Birds don't plan for the future. They can't control their circumstances, yet they lack nothing because God Himself sustains them. And so when Jesus says, your Heavenly Father, That changes the entire dynamic of this conversation. Because I want you to hear something. The God who created the universe and keeps the universe spinning by his own power loves you like a father loves his children. You know, I never met my earthly father. He abandoned me and my mom about a month after I was born. But my heavenly father has always been there. And my heavenly father cares for my every need and has transformed my life with his power. This time last year, I was in the beginnings of a conversation with this crazy church in Georgia. Crazy people. Far from it. Crazy pastor. And yet, like my wife said about 4 months earlier, God could just touch our lives with his pinky and change everything. So we have a heavenly father who is the sovereign power of this universe. And yet he takes care of us. Then Jesus says, can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? No, but I'll tell you what you can do, and this is a fact. You can take away hours of your life. I mean, we know that stress and worry have remarkable negative effects upon our physical bodies. See, worry deceives us into feeling like we're in control, but it achieves nothing. Write this down. Control is an illusion. If you think that you have control, you are completely deluded. Right now, your house could be burning to the ground, and you couldn't do a thing about it. Some of you control people are getting on your phone, looking at your security camera, it's your house. There's not an app for that. Because it's ridiculous. Like steering a car without an engine. Worrying is just an exhausting waste of time. Joshua 1:9 says this, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. God tells us that allowing ourselves to be discouraged is a sin. Because this is a command. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So our Heavenly Father is not trying to figure out the universe as he goes along. Our Heavenly Father is like, oh, I've never seen this scenario before. Oh, man. No, no. From the smallest molecule to the vastness of the cosmos, God's power sustains everything. Ah, but the law of attraction feeds on our fears of security and our desire for control. Because every one of us has deep levels of insecurity because we are only human. And so the law of attraction promises that we can manifest what we need by simply focusing our thoughts. But this philosophy is rooted in pride and self-delusion. Because at its core, the law of attraction echoes the serpent's lie from the Garden of Eden. You will be like God. That is exactly what the law of attraction teaches. You will be like God. Because the law of attraction teaches that we have the power to shape our personal destiny. But here's the truth. We don't control our destiny at all. God does. I can't even get the style of my hair right every day. More or less control my own destiny. Although I think I'm having a pretty good hair day today, I'm not going to lie. But no matter how much we strive, we cannot command the rain to fall. We can't make crops grow. We can't guarantee tomorrow's provision. Jesus offers something far greater than the empty promises of the law of attraction. Instead of leaving us to fend for ourselves, he invites us to trust in the Heavenly Father who owns it all. Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. So every resource that we need belongs to the Lord. And he provides according to his perfect wisdom and grace. And the truth frees us from the crushing burden of self-reliance. Can you imagine if your success and every good thing that you ever want is completely dependent upon you living perfectly in a state of positive thinking? How many of you wouldn't last 8 seconds? Just drive down Jefferson one day, and you'll immediately lose your salvation. I mean, it's an unbelievable burden. But listen, we don't have to hustle for what God has already promised to provide. Here's the ultimate truth. God's provision goes far beyond food, clothing, and daily needs. His greatest provision is Jesus Christ, who meets our ultimate need, reconciliation with God. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die." So Jesus is saying that when we put our trust in his sovereign resurrection power, we will live even when our physical body dies. He's promising a level of security that no other philosophy, ideology can promise. You don't have the power to manifest forgiveness. You don't have the power to manifest salvation. You don't have the power to manifest eternal life. You see, the law of attraction is a fairy tale, but the gospel is real. It's not a fantasy. And it gives us an incalculable hope that the law of attraction could never give us. Peace and satisfaction are found in trusting our Heavenly Father. Not only does God provide for our needs, but his provision flows from a deep, personal love for us as his children. Number two, God loves us and personally knows our needs. I've said this for almost 40 years. God knows where you live. Does the president know where you live? Does the governor know where you live? Probably half your friends don't know where you live. God knows where you live. He knows every single thing about you. And he loves you. So Jesus goes on, he says, "And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. And yet, I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these." And if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. So Jesus points to the flowers of the field. They're beautiful, but they're fragile and fleeting. And they do nothing to make themselves beautiful. Yet God adorns them with such majesty and beauty that it surpasses the wealthiest, most splendor king in all of Israel, King Solomon. So if God cares for something so small and temporary, how much more will he care for us? Oh, I'm worried about going to college. I'm worried about not having any friends. I'm worried about my financial future. I'm worried about keep going. But if God takes care of the flowers, the wildflowers out there, how much more is he going to take care of you? You know, when I came to Georgia last April, I saw stunning azaleas. Now, I heard the word azalea like in 1996 when I was watching the Masters. And, you know, on television, it's like, oh, the beautiful azaleas. And I'm like, yeah, I guess the pink things are, you know, I'm a guy. Okay, But when I got here in Georgia, I've been to Georgia many, many times, but I'd never been in that moment. And I saw those azaleas. I called Valerie. I had a little video. I don't even like flowers that much, but I love those. It was like they were plugged into an electric fluorescent pink that can only, it's just unbelievable. I was just like, I can't believe this beauty. I could literally stand for an hour and just look at the azaleas. So I fly back home, we do some stuff. Then we come back 3 weeks later. And I'm telling Val, you've got to see these azaleas. They're because Valerie can really appreciate it because she's smart and cultured. And we come out and they're like, not as flashy. It's like, they need a battery. Like, what happened? There's like a 3 week time span when those azaleas are at their peak and then it's gone. I mean, if God cares so much for those azaleas that are here for a week or two and then gone for a whole other year, how much more does he love and care for us? Your heavenly Father knows your name, knows your struggles, knows your fears, and he doesn't just see your needs. He meets your needs with his love and his care. And in Christ, he's met your greatest need and my greatest need. The need for salvation and restoration. But the law of attraction is the opposite of the gospel because it denies the existence of an all-powerful God. There is no God in the law of attraction. Now, there have been pastors who've tried to Christianize this, and if I just lay down the list of the pastors or the really famous TV evangelists who have co-opted a false version of the gospel with the law of attraction, it's mind-boggling to watch this. And these are the people that you read about who get in trouble for bilking people for money. They say almost the exact same words, so be careful. Because the law of attraction reduces the universe to an impersonal machine that supposedly responds to our highly focused positive ideas and visions. But here's the problem. The universe does not love you. The universe does not know you. The universe is not working for your good. And I'll tell you this, when the law of attraction fails, when that job you long for and you manifest it doesn't come through, when that relationship that you manifested falls apart, when that healing that you manifested doesn't happen, you're left with guilt, shame, and despair because you didn't have what it takes to pull it off. But the gospel is a radically different story. The God who created the universe created it for a purpose. And he created you to experience the power of his love and to experience the power of his life. See, God isn't distant or detached. No, God is deeply involved in the affairs of humanity in every possible way, and he's involved in your life. Listen to this. God is providing for you right now things that you haven't even thought about in the future. He's already working it out. And it's not because of your effort or how great your faith is. It's his grace. And so the gospel shows us a God who takes the weight of providing onto himself. And this is where we have the power of prayer. How many times have you prayed to God and God bless you? This week, I was talking to a friend. We were both having a moment. His moment was worse than mine, so I was the one like giving the encouragement. Just a little bit worse than mine. And I was going through some business struggles, and we talked, and we went through some verses, and we prayed, and then he went home, and he prayed, and then like 4 hours later, he texted me, goes, I just got a huge client. And I was like, I know this brother did not manifest that. He does not have what it takes to manifest that. He was in a negative place. But when he turned to God and he asked about his Heavenly Father, God delivered. For that moment, it was faster than other times. But I'll tell you this, God's never late. Now, he's never early. Some of you wish God was early. He's never early either. He's right on time. And God doesn't wait for us to earn his care. He's not waiting for you to get everything right. He's already ahead of you, providing for what you can't even see. And God's ability to provide for you is not based on your positivity. It's rooted in his unchanging character. God's greatest provision was giving his son to rescue you. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? If God didn't spare his own son, how could you ever doubt him? If God was willing to give up Jesus to bring you and me home, why would we ever doubt his care? Why would we ever question his goodness? You know, peace and satisfaction are found in trusting our Heavenly Father. And our Heavenly Father provides for us with his power. He's personal, and he loves us. Number three, God has a greater eternal purpose for our lives. You don't have to try to find your purpose. Stop trying to find your purpose. It's already laid out. So it is, I'm going to help you. Well, I'm not going to help you because I have no clue for anything. But Jesus is going to help us today. I don't know what, Joel, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I know what you're supposed to do. So we're just going to listen to what Jesus said, okay? Matthew 6, beginning verse 31. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? This is how I feel after every Sunday service. Where shall we eat? What do we want? Sorry, a little bad humor, very bad. Do not worry about saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things. And your Heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So Jesus takes on the very questions about survival, right? Think about it. How many of you guys have ever been in a survival situation? So, you know, I've been in a couple survival situations in Alaska. You need to have some food, you better have some water, and you better have some warm clothes. And these are the fundamental questions of survival. And by the way, in Jesus' time, those things were not plentiful. Those things were scarce. People died of hunger and lack of shelter all the time. It's not like what we have where, you know, we're upset if we have to go to McDonald's. But these issues reflect the fragility of our own existence and our desperate desire to feel secure and in control. And Jesus points out that that type of striving, that type of just trying to get what you want and worrying all the time, is not characteristic of his followers, but it resembles paganism. You're never more of a pagan than when you worry about whether God's going to come through your life or not. We call that practical atheism. You're never more like a person who doesn't believe in God than when you try to get all your needs met by yourself. So those of you who are visiting or you're watching on our broadcast, this is the amen hand. It hardly ever works. But they think they can wear me down, but I'm going to keep doing it. The pagan worldview is rooted in one thing, self-interest. Self-interest, chasing after material things and rejecting the idea of a world where someone else is in control. But Jesus offers us a better way. He says, your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. And this is the turning point. God is not blind to our needs. And yet, instead of allowing these concerns to dominate our hearts, Jesus calls us to something far greater. What's my purpose? I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be doing. Here we go. Matthew 6:33. I've shared this verse for 40 years to people. Whenever I start wondering what I'm supposed to do, I go right back to Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Is that on the screen? That's a really good verse. That's close enough. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Now, I want you to hear me. Look at me. Few statements in Scripture are this clear and this transformative. Seek God's will. Align your life with his truth, and he's going to take care of you. When you put God's kingdom first, everything else falls into place. To seek God's kingdom means to prioritize his purposes above our own desires. Okay? To seek God's kingdom is this. From now on, I am going to live my life for my Heavenly Father's interests, and I'm going to take my interests and throw them in the garbage can. And whenever my interests and his interests align, there'll be good things. But my life is about God's kingdom. You see, that is the first step into freedom, into finding your purpose. I wrote a song years ago called Nothing Left of Me. It says, burn the kingdoms I have made that you would shine and I would fade till there's nothing left of me. I pray that God will burn down all of your little puny kingdoms. And I'm constantly having to say, God, blow my little petty kingdoms apart so that all I care about are your interests. Seek first his kingdom. Now, the law of attraction is purely selfish. It only focuses on how the universe works for you. Forget everybody else. Get rid of all the negative people. Anybody that tells you different, challenges you. Anybody who goes, hey, are you sure about it? Get rid of them. Isolate yourself. It's okay to burn all your relationships as long as you're focused on pure positivity. Do you see how ridiculous that sounds? And then to seek God's righteousness is to live a lifestyle of constantly aligning to God's truth and God's wisdom, and God's will. It's called discipleship. I live a life of constantly trying to align my life where God is, by his Spirit's power. And when you are truly passionate about God's kingdom interests, when you are passionate about aligning your life to him, God will take care of everything else. He'll put you where you need to be. You'll have everything you need. But the law of attraction offers no morality, no direction, no purpose beyond self-interest. And when we make God's kingdom the central focus of our lives, everything falls into place. That's what Jesus said. And Jesus addresses the fear of the unknown. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You want to get a bumper sticker? Here's a great idea. Jesus, and then quote, every day has enough trouble of its own. Wouldn't that be a great t-shirt? Jesus said that. Relax. I want you to write this down. Write this down. Tomorrow belongs to God. Think about that for a second. Tomorrow belongs to God. Why worry about tomorrow? Why worry about the future when tomorrow belongs to God? Does that give you relief? When I say tomorrow belongs to God, I feel this weight coming off me. Man, I've got to lead this church, and I've got to be the shepherd. I've got to understand all the business side. I've got to understand the ministries and all these processes. And man, I got to work on preaching, and I don't even know if I make any sense. And we got music, and we got all this stuff going, and all, you know, the church is 200 years old. Blah, 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 blah. Tomorrow belongs to God. So instead of worrying, let's get to worshiping. The law of attraction promises a version of fulfillment that is entirely focused on the here and now. It's about now, and the future is totally uncertain. It's a system that teaches you to chase after material desires and worldly success, claiming that if you align with your thoughts correctly, you can manifest the life you want. But it's just a trap for slavery, because it leaves no room for God, no space for eternity, no assurance beyond what you can control, which is nothing. Jesus offers us something greater. The kingdom of God is not focused on worldly wealth or comfort. It's focused on eternal treasures. Eternal treasures are the things that last forever. They truly matter. Eternal treasures are found in the joy of knowing that your life has a purpose and that there's a reward for living by the power of Christ in you, being faithful to Him, and bringing people to Jesus along the way. It's about living for something that's going to last forever. And let me tell you, if you seek Jesus, it doesn't mean there'll be no trouble. It doesn't mean there will not be hardships and suffering. But it does mean that we can face the brutal reality of everyday life with confidence, knowing that our future is secure in Jesus. Seek His kingdom. Trust His provision. Hey, are you living for the kingdom of God? I don't mean like you tip your hat to the idea. Are you running after things in the world, trying to control everything? Tell you what, man, try having to preach every week in front of a bunch of people. This whole week has been a testament of how the law of Joel does not work at all, and how freeing the words of Jesus are. Peace and satisfaction are found in trusting our Heavenly Father. In just a second, we're going to sing, and I love this song we're going to sing. Maybe you want to come down, join the church. We had somebody in the first service that came down and joined the church. Maybe you're struggling with your life. Maybe you're investigating Christianity. Awesome. Awesome. It's nothing to sneeze at. It's real. We're a passionate church, but we're not a perfect church. But that's why we keep bowing our hearts at the feet of Jesus. Amen. So as we sing, you're invited to come down and respond however the Lord tells you to respond.